If that does not light your fire, then your wood is wet. Your wood is wet. First, I'd like to express my heartfelt congratulations to Pastor Stinger for 25 years of effective ministry. You know, there's a difference between 25 years of ministry and 25 years of effective ministry. You know, pastors don't generally stay long at churches. The average church in America, the average tenure is between 3 and 4 years. That's how long the average pastor stays at a church in America. And I'm from Texas now, so I don't know how you all, maybe you all are different. But if we had a pastor who has served more than 7 times the average, if we had a pastor who has served effectively more than 7 times the national average, we wouldn't have given him a teeny-weeny praise. When given the opportunity to say thanks, we wouldn't have given a teeny-weeny praise. And I don't want to start out making anybody mad at me, but I saw a teeny-weeny praise. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to redeem yourself. You don't have to take it, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to redeem yourself. So if you're glad God gave you a pastor, an effective pastor, for 25 years, he deserves more than a teeny-weeny praise. This man has an incredible heart of compassion. Generosity is his middle name. He has been a special friend and supporter for a number of years, and very grateful for that. And as all has already been said, his wife is the quintessential first lady. She has a gift of kindness and hospitality. I just want to say thank you so much for your kindness and friendship and your ministry in this church. Mount Olive, being around 131 years, is a very special achievement. It is a very special gift from God. And we celebrate what God has done for you and through you. I must admit, I was in the luncheon yesterday, and when I heard Reverend Young preach, it was an earth-shaking sermon. Oh, my Lord, my Lord. And it made me change my message for today. The sermon was so powerful, I said, you got to change your message for today. And what I want to do this morning is I want to, he said, stop whining and stop worrying and start working. And what I want to do this morning, in the few moments I have, is kind of build on that just a little bit and answer the question, what must Mount Olive do to go to the next level? What must Mount Olive do to be all that God has intended for Mount Olive to do? And if you'd allow me, if you will take seriously the word today, this word can be a prophetic word and a word that will let you know that God's plan for the future of Mount Olive will dwarf anything that's happened in the past. But one of the keys to that is you embracing what I'm going to talk about this evening. This morning, you're embracing that, and you embracing it personally, embracing it congregationally. And there are two words that will trigger God's prophetic work in and through Mount Olive. There is the word of accept, and then there's announce. So you have to personally accept what I'm talking about today. And then you have to announce what I'm going to talk about today. You see, you are in a strategic place. at a strategic time. To reach a strategic people for a strategic purpose. How many churches would love to be in the center of the city? How many churches would be envious of the opportunity to be right at the center of a great city? But if you sit here, and you don't see that you have the responsibility to reach out to the hurting, reach out to the hopeless, reach out to the helpless, reach out to the hapless with a message of the gospel, then I will say to you, Mount Olive, you will be have been derelict in your duty. God has not called Mount Olive to be cute and comfortable. Can I preach, Pastor? Can I preach? Can I preach? God has not called Mount Olive to be sophisticated and sedentary. God has placed you here on assignment. He has a message for you to accept and announce. Say to your neighbor, accept and announce. At the end of this message, there will be a call. Let me tell you in advance. So if you don't respond, then let me give you a 5-minute break, and anybody who wants to leave can do that. And either your mission is to accept or announce. Nobody gets a pass. Reverend Young made it clear yesterday. Nobody gets a pass. Would you bow with me and ask God to take this message and say what he wants to say to his people? Father, we thank you that you are a sovereign God and you put this assignment on the calendar in eternity past. Father, we are thankful that you have given us an opportunity to be together this morning. Not just to have church and enjoy each other, but to do a work that will transform lives. Father, for those who are just here to celebrate without consecration, would you change their heart? Father, those who are here who are here to sing without sacrifice, release their spirit. Father, for those who are just here as a judge and critic, free them from their self-righteousness. And Father, would you, by the power of your spirit, put this feeble, fragile, frail vessel to the side. And Father, would you be pleased to speak in spite of me? Would you be pleased, Father, to not let the limitations of my humanity short-circuit the free-flowing of your power? Our desire, Father, is that you be glorified, that you be honored. And would you be pleased, Father, let someone here hear a message that is for them. And we will give you all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name. S.I. McMillan was a famous medical doctor. He wrote a book a number of years ago that was a very powerful book. The name of the book was None of These Diseases. And in that book, he wrote the words that over half of the hospital beds in America could be empty if people simply knew that they were forgiven. I don't know if you know it or not, but medically it is clear that more than 80% of all illnesses, 80% of all illnesses we face in America are tied to our emotions. Some of you all didn't know that. People have distress. And I don't want to preach a message that does not encourage on anniversary day. But I believe God sent me here to make sure we know that smiling faces tell lies. And everybody came in and said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm glad you did it. But the truth be told, just before you got out of the car, you didn't have that smile. Now, the reality is all of us are facing all kinds of stress. And there are some people who are just barely hanging on. And they're looking for solutions in all the wrong places. They're looking for solutions in pills and packets and potions and portfolios. They're looking for solutions in professional status and significance. And you and I have the real answer. And if Mount Olive is going to go to the next level, if Mount Olive is going to build on the 131 years that God has given, and Pastor Singer, you ought to make these next years in his life the years that you get behind him and embrace the vision and take it to the next level. If Mount Olive is going to go to the next level, you must announce, you must accept and announce. What must you accept, you say? What must you announce, you say? In the Gospel of Matthew. They're just a few verses. All we need are a few verses. There's a few verses that could transform our lives and transform the community for the sake of the kingdom. You see, people are looking for solutions. And God wants 216 Loudoun Street to be a place of healing and a place of hope. And people drive by, they see the steeple, they say, I want to get in there. There's life in Mount Olive. There's hope there. There's help there. Let me in. Are the doors open? Open the doors. I want to experience it. Let me in. But you got to accept. You got to announce it. You see, I know a lot of you all, most of you all may be members of the church. I'm sorry, I'm off. I'm off my script. I hope it's all right. I had an outline, but my outline ain't working right now. Everybody who's a member of the church ain't a member of God's family. And it's not good enough to have your name on the roll of First Mile Olive. If your name's not on the roll of the Lamb's Book of Life. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus has a word. Look with me at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Oh, Lord, there's life here. Jesus looked out on the crowd. There were hurting people. There were helpless people. There were hopeless people. Well, you have to understand that these people had been following, listening to the religious leaders of the day. And the religious leaders said, turn five steps to the right, two steps to the left, take two jumps, and that'll get you in heaven. They all had all these things they wanted them to do. They had taken the commandments and multiplied it many times over, had all these rules and regulations, all these things that people had to do to know Jesus. Come to the civil authorities. Come to the community leaders. Come to the corporate leaders. It's real simple, isn't it? Jesus says, come to me. There are four main points if I get through them all. With the invitation. Now you all, please don't miss this. Jesus is a personal God. And he wants us to have a personal relationship with him. He does not call us to religiosity. He does not call us to spirituality. He does not call us to churchianity. He calls us to a relationship. So there is that these people they were then you've missed the most wonderful thing in the world. If I had time, and I don't have time because I know there are other things happening here, but you know, many passages of scripture that I don't have time to read, but Jesus is a God who is accustomed to extending Jesus says, I am the way. For those who need a way out of darkness, Jesus says, I am the light. For those who need access to spiritual power, Jesus says, I am the door. For those who need spiritual sustenance, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. For those who need answers, Jesus says, I am the truth. For those who are spiritually thirsty, Jesus says, I give away living water that you'll never thirst again. For those who feel alone and there's nobody to care for you, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus has a tendency to issue invitations. First Mount Olive is to go to the next level. People need to understand that while there are great pastors and ministers here, while there's a great facility here, while there's great programming here, they need to know that unequivocally when they come to First Mount Olive, they're going to have a personal encounter with Jesus. Something on the left-hand side of the scale. And every time I did a bad deed, well, what would happen is something would go on the right side of the scale. And I thought that if I would die wherever the scales were, that's what would determine my eternal destiny. That's what was happening in this passage. You see, these disciples, the followers of Jesus at the time, thought that they had to work their way to salvation. They thought they had to earn their way to salvation. They thought their salvation depended on them You see, in this passage, I want you to understand there are two different words for rest in this passage. The first word for rest deals with our spiritual status with God. The second word for rest deals with our status on earth, how we live. Yeah. Yeah. Let's look at the text again. It's an amazing passage of scripture, and I hope to be able to do justice to it with the time I have this morning. You see, Jesus' invitation is personal, it's powerful, and it's prophetic. He says, come to me, all you who are weary. That word weary is the idea of a person who's been weighted down with burdens. In the Bible, the word is used to speak of spiritual burdens, people who are weighted down with their own sense of guilt, their own sense of, I can't quite measure up to God's expectations. I can't quite live up to his standards. And you get frustrated because you know you're not pleasing God, and you're not pleasing God. You're working. And yes, it is important to serve in the church. Yes, it is important to give God your all. Yeah, yeah. But the most important thing you can give God is your heart.
Amen, amen.
The most important thing you can give God is your life. Yeah. So Mount Olive, first Mount Olive, does God have your heart? I know he's got your mind. I know he's got your body right now. But does God have your heart? In this passage, Jesus is looking out on those who are burdened down by the weight of the Pharisaical rules and all these religious leaders. And Jesus says, I'll tell you a little secret. The first thing is an invitation. But then there's a second thing that's really important. Jesus says, come to me, all who weary, heavy laden, and you will be able to earn your rest. After you work long enough, hard enough, you do your best, and you dot the right I's, and you cross the right T's, and you do everything you're supposed to do, you will eventually earn rest. Oh, man. Think about this with me. He says, I will give you rest. I mean, maybe you all don't understand. I mean, that's good news. That's good news. It's good news. I no longer have to work my way to heaven. God will give it to me through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I will give. That's the declaration. Jesus says, I will give you rest. Somebody opened up Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 to me, and it changed my life. It says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no man should boast. Once I understood that salvation and this rest that God promises, this rest from this working my way to God is gift given to me. It freed me up. So Mount Olive, you have to accept that, or you have to announce it. You come into contact with people every day who need to hear this message. And my challenge to each one of you for this year is ask God to sensitize you, to open your eyes to the divine appointments he's already scheduled for you, to tell people about this wonderful gift that God has given through Jesus Christ. My question to you. I got mine. You got to get yours. If First Mount Olive, if each member in this church said, God, make me a witness for you. God, give me someone who does not know you that I can share what you did done for me so they can experience the life-changing power of Jesus Christ in their life. Mighty quiet up in here. Mighty quiet. If Mount Olive is going to go to the next level, you can't simply rely on the ministers. Brother Wilkinson said the average church in America is like a football stadium. You got 80,000 people in desperate need of exercise. And 22 people in desperate need of rest. So that you say, it is my responsibility, it is all of our responsibility to take the message of the gospel, to take the message that Jesus did to a lost and dying world. Jesus says, I will give you rest. Are you taking your rest for granted? Have you forgotten what he did? You remember that day when you first understood? Do you remember that day when you first understood that, no, you now have a guarantee of heaven? Do you remember that day? Let me hear what it felt like on that day. Let me see what it felt like on that day. Let me get a sense of what happened when you realized that you were saved. Can you show me what you felt like? Can you give me some illustration of how you responded to God? But then, not only is there a declaration, but there is a prescription. That's a prescription. You see, salvation. But that's not all God has called us to be and do. I shudder to think what would happen if First Mount Olive took seriously the next part of what we're going to look at in this passage. I promise you, if you take it seriously, you will not have room in the walls of this church for the people who want to come in. If you take it seriously, you have to think about expanding again. I don't know if y'all are ready for that. I don't know if y'all are really comfortable. You see, sometimes we don't want other people. Can I just say it like it is? We got our assignments. We know what we're supposed to do. We don't need. Why do we need other people? Why? We happy just like where we are. We got our friends. And we cool. Why are we gonna bring other people? Then we got to worry about. I got my seat. That's my seat. Somebody gonna get my seat. You may have to give up your seat, and Lord knows not your parking spot. So let me get back to the Bible. Sorry. That was a little bit of. Sorry. My notes are no longer useful for me right now. My notes, I worked hard on my notes, but God told me to put the notes aside. You see, in Matthew chapter 28, there is a statement in verse 29 that is absolutely mind-boggling. He says, take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you. You see, the yoke is a familiar term in the Bible. The yoke is a symbol of submission to an external source of strength. The yoke is a symbol of submission to an authority outside of yourself. And what Jesus knew was these believers, they were already yoked, but they were yoked to the wrong place. You see in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 13, it says, I broke the bars of your yoke and enable you to walk with heads held high. Galatians 5 said, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Allegiance to anything or any person apart from Jesus Christ is an inappropriate yoke. Now, most of us are yoked to stuff. Most of us are yoked to stuff. We're yoked to our cars. We're yoked to our homes. We're yoked to our clothes. We're yoked to our jobs. We're yoked to our relationships. Jesus says, break free from all of those yokes. And he says, there is a yoke, though. There is a yoke that I want you to have that could change your life if you take it seriously. You've heard me say before, but I think it bears saying again, that we have a tendency to measure our significance by all the wrong things. And while there's nothing wrong with having things, the problem is when the things have you. God is not object to us having things. The problem is when the things on us. And we cannot be used by God to do the things he wants us to do. You remember the man who said, I counted dollars while God counted crosses? He said, I counted gains while God measured losses. He said, I measure my worth by things gained and stored, but he sized me up by the scars that I bore. He says, I never knew till one day by the grave how vain are the things that we spend life to save. It's like the man who spent his whole life climbing up a ladder of a building, got to the top of the building, realized he'd be climbing up the top of the wrong building. Spent a whole life climbing up the ladder, realizing I'm at the top of the wrong building. What am I going to do? Here's the prescription. You see, God wants you and I to make the intentional choice of submitting to his lordship and following his example. If First Mount Olive is going to go to the next level, then First Mount Olive must move beyond salvation to discipleship. I don't know how many people are in the Master Life class, but it should be packed out.
Amen.
Because that is a vehicle that God has given. You can move from salvation to discipleship.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Jesus, in this passage of scripture, said to them, break free from the yoke of the Pharisees. Break free from the yoke of slavery to the stuff in your life. But then he says, I want you to voluntarily make a decision to submit all of your life to me. A good friend of mine is from Nigeria. And he preaches, and he, whenever he sees the word all and everything, he says all means all. That's what all means. Real deep, isn't it? Can you say that with me? All means all. That's what all means. God wants it all. He wants everything. He says everything. He wants everything. And if God doesn't have everything, then he does not have you. Because partial obedience is disobedience. Jesus says in this passage, take my yoke upon you. It's interesting because if you have ever been on a farm or been seen, a yoke is a wooden bar. And if you don't get this picture, you think that Jesus is saying that he wants you to put his yoke and let him drag you along. But he's borrowing a picture from the farming days. And what happens is you have an older ox, a stronger ox, who puts the yoke on. And then there's a smaller, weaker ox that gets linked up to the older, stronger ox. And if you'll notice real carefully, the younger ox is not really carrying anything because it's all being carried by the older ox. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. He says, you're trying to do it by yourself, for yourself. He says, take my yoke upon you because my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. The reason why we're under so much stress is we're trying to carry stuff that God never intended for us to carry. We're trying to do things that God has never intended for us to do. God says, you put your yoke aside. And you take my yoke. He says, my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. There can be freedom today if you receive this word. Remember, you're supposed to accept it and announce it. Make sure you grasp it. You make a serious decision to make it real in your experience. And then you go out and you tell everybody you can what God has done for you. You let them know about the life-changing power of Jesus and how it's transformed every part of your being. Ah, man, Lord, help me, Jesus. This next part is so packed, it's amazing. I'm only going to touch it. In the past, recently, God gave me greater insight in this passage. I read quickly through it. It says, take my yoke upon you. And then he says this little phrase that is easy to miss. See what that phrase says? Learn of me. You see, that word is the word mathano in the Greek. And that word is the word that deals with this idea of discipleship. I know I got to quit. I'll quit. This word learn of me is learn from my example. Y'all, please get this. Jesus wants us to depend on him for his power and his strength. But Jesus also said he has given us an example that will help us break free from some of the things that are stressful and burdening people down. So I said, God, what do you want me to learn, God? What do you want me to see? And I'm just going to give you the verses, and if you're taking notes, you may want to write these down. They can make a difference in your life. There's some things that Jesus did when he was on the earth that could help with some of those 80% of the people who have this high blood pressure and heart disease and diabetes and all kinds of things. Many of those things are manifested because of the stress in our lives. A little bit of lesson in physiology. You see what happens when we see a stressor, what happens is the body activates the fight or flight system. And what occurs is it gives us a quick boost of adrenaline. That gets us ready for the battle. That's supposed to be quick and easy because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. But what happens is we stay in that fear mode and the adrenaline keeps pouring down and the cortisol gets in our body and it puts inflammation in our body, begins to destroy us because we don't know how to stop that fear. When Jesus did these things, I want to give you these things real quickly. In John 13, verses 1 through 3, there's the word concentration. Jesus did not let people distract him. He stayed on focus. Don't have time to explain it, but write down the word concentration. Yeah. Are you on assignment? Are you letting people distract you? Are you so busy doing so many things that you can't do what God's called you to do, and you're worn out because you're doing too much? Then write down Luke chapter 5, verse 16, meditation. This is what blew my mind. Here you have people waiting for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours to see Jesus. And what Jesus would do is Jesus would, can you imagine this? You've been waiting for hours and hours and hours, and you're at the back of the line. You finally get to the front of the line.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus says to his disciples, let us go to the other side and rest. It's your turn. Jesus! Wait, Jesus! Oh, Jesus, one more. Just one more, Lord. But what Jesus would do is Jesus stopped and he went aside to meditate. I'm blown away because what people will make us think we got to do everything for everybody all the time. And we don't take time to take care of ourselves. It's okay to take care of yourself. Jesus meditated. I wish I had time to explain this. Learn of him. Not only did Jesus meditate, Jesus was involved in restoration. In Mark chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus took the time to meditate, but Jesus also took the time to rest. And we believe that resting is sinful, but it's not. It's of God. Just a couple more things, and I must stop. But also, Jesus was involved in service. Did you know that when you serve, your body produces chemicals that make you healthy? And then finally, exaltation. When we praise God, it brings healing to our bodies. And when we praise God, it brings healing to our bodies. When we praise God, it brings healing to our bodies. When we praise God, the Bible says laughter makes good medicine. A merry heart makes good medicine. So when we praise God, the scientists will say that what happens is our body produces dopamine, and dopamine is healing. And I know I don't have time, but I want about 15 minutes of dopamine. Can we get 15 minutes of dopamine? Can we get 15 minutes of dopamine? Can we get a shot of dopamine? Can we get a shot of dopamine? A shot of dopamine. You see, when you praise, you get dopamine. God gives us the ability to make our own medicine. You got a medicine cabinet. God, you have your own pharmacy. You got your own pharmacy. You and I either making poison or medicine. All the time. My question is, what are you making? I gotta quit. The last part, I'm done. In verse 29. I'm not even gonna go to verse 30. There's a promise in verse 29 that is mind-boggling. It says, and you will find rest for your souls. Lord, give me the ability to summarize this. You will find rest for your souls. Oh, Jesus. Obedience He wants you to announce that. He wants you to accept the fact that there's no burden that you have that God is not greater still. There's no worry, there's no concern that God has, that you have that God can't meet. He wants you to accept that. And he wants you to announce that. And what I want to do now is I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the message. I'm not done, but I'm done.